This is Stateside. I'm Lester Graham. Joining me now is Joe Arvai. He's the professor of sustainable enterprise at the University of Michigan and one of the people who advises the EPA on some of its science. We're going to talk about President Trump's decision to withdraw from the Paris Climate Accord. What's your first reaction to that?
My first reaction is it doesn't make much sense on a lot of different levels. It's bewildering because it goes against public opinion. It's bewildering because it goes against economic principles. I'm left quite shocked today.
But this was a campaign promise, and his base, the conservative base that he depends on and is still campaigning for, it appears to me, wanted this.
Yeah, I would agree. I think we can dig a little deeper than that, though. If you look at trends in each of the 50 states, a majority of adults of voting age, registered voters, believe that climate change is happening. They're concerned about the risks. They believe that greenhouse gases should be regulated as pollutants. They believe that energy producers should be required to cut back on their greenhouse gas emissions. If you look at Trump voters specifically, it's a near majority of Trump voters who believe those very same things in each of the 50 states. So even if he's looking to his base, I think he's misguided. He's a good 3.5 years from re-election if nothing strange happens between now and then. So the idea that he's going to be locking up a bunch of voters with this doesn't make sense to me either.
So he keeps saying that this was bad for business. This caused plants. We were spending hundreds of billions and giving it to other nations. He says it disadvantaged the U.S. to the exclusive benefit of other countries. And I keep hearing businesses say they want stability. They're staying the course on reducing emissions. They see the long-term trend now is toward renewables, and many of them are following that. I mean, companies like Walmart, which is surprising to me. They're installing all LED lights. They're making sure their coolers are as efficient as they can. The buildings are built more greenly than they used to be. I mean, they still don't have a great record, but it's so much better than it was just 20 years ago. There are many other companies that are doing the same thing, and they're listening to reinsurers like Lloyd's of London who tell them, look, this is happening. This is coming. You have to get ready for it. What can you do to lower your emissions and to prepare for what is coming? So if the businesses are doing that, how does this register with voters when Trump says it's bad for business?
Well, this is a challenge because I think a lot of people who are listening to Trump's statements who are on his side on this issue, I don't think are thinking as deeply as many of us are about the implications of his decision for business. You mentioned Walmart. You could look in Michigan at Consumers Energy. DTE is cutting its coal plants out. You can look at the large shareholder vote yesterday at ExxonMobil, a really surprising vote where 63% of their shareholders have asked ExxonMobil to be more transparent and critical about the implications of climate change for their business. So I don't see this affecting business in a positive way at all. To me, this is akin to taking us back in time to the era of incandescent bulbs and coal production. Coal isn't coming back because it doesn't make economic sense. A lot of the innovations on energy efficiency are where new jobs are going to be in the future. So this, to me, is another one of those cases where the rhetoric doesn't match the reality.
So this process is going to take a while. We're not out of the agreement right away. By the way, 195 countries signed on to the Paris Accord. It was amazing. And we are one of three countries not in the agreement now once we withdraw. Us, Syria,
Nicaragua.
And Nicaragua.
Yes, sir.
Good company. So tell me, practically speaking, nothing really changes, does it? I mean, we're not out for a while. He has said the clean power plant rule that Obama was pursuing is not going to be pursued. But, those companies are already, as you mentioned, DTEs, they're already on their way to doing that. So is this going to make any difference, really?
I think from a pragmatic perspective, there's a tremendous amount of momentum toward staying the course on sustainability and climate change. So from a business perspective, as you mentioned, companies like stability. They like to know what's around the corner. They've invested heavily in this already. So I think we'll be staying the course there. Other countries are doing the same thing. If you look at Scandinavian countries, if you look at what's happening across Europe, if you look at what's happening in a place like India where they're doubling down on solar. And the big one here, the world's largest emitter in China, I think they're staying the course in terms of leadership on climate. So from a pragmatic perspective, I think that not a lot will change. However, this is traditional ground for the United States to lead. So I think that every move that Trump makes like this, whether it's around Paris climate, whether it's around the Green Power Plan, whether it's around some of his other statements about the economy, his statements about security, each one of them that's poorly thought out, I think, sets us back in terms of our position on the world stage as a leader. People are already now talking about Angela Merkel as being the leader of the free world. People are talking about the Chinese government as really leading on sustainability and climate. These are radical shifts for the United States. And fundamentally, I think they're going to affect our reputation. And when they affect our reputation, they're going to affect the economy. So I think bad decision making all around.
President Trump has said that he thinks climate change is a hoax. We've seen conservative Republicans change their statements about climate change because they all used to say it's a hoax, it's not happening. We can all remember when Inhofe threw the snowball in the chamber. The Republican congressman from the 7th District in Michigan, Tim Walberg, just was making a statement in Coldwater recently, and he's now saying, I believe there's climate change. I believe there's been climate change since the beginning of time. You know, you can't really argue with that. Do I think man has some impact? Well, yeah, of course. Can man change the entire universe? No. Why do I believe that? He said, well, as a Christian, I believe there is a creator and God who is much bigger than us. And I'm confident if there's a real problem, he can take care of it. So should we just let go and let God, as far as climate change is concerned? Is that the new policy?
Sorry, I didn't mean to laugh. Oh, no, I don't think so. I think regardless of your faith or for those who are non-believers, I don't think that our place on this planet and in this universe is to just sort of throw up our hands and que sera, sera, what will happen will happen. I think that, you know, we have a responsibility to the present. We have a responsibility to future generations. So I think that all of us, if we're going to adopt this rhetoric of fighting, which Donald Trump adopted in his remarks about the Paris Climate Accord, if we're going to walk our talk there, I think we owe it to ourselves and to our children to take a stand on issues, especially issues like climate change. You know, it's heartening to hear Republicans and Democrats talking more honestly about climate change. I'm not sure if those comments are exactly the best example, but there are a lot of Republicans who are talking about climate change now in much more honest terms than they have in the past. I think that makes sense for them. You pointed out a minute ago that it's going to take a while to get out of the Paris Climate Agreement. In fact, the day that the United States could actually get out of the Paris Climate Agreement, at least on paper, is the day after Election Day in 2020. So maybe this is what puts climate change on the map as a major electoral issue in 2018, but also in 2020, where I think it actually belongs. Listen, I think that when it comes to issues like climate change, there are going to be tough trade-offs. Yes, people will lose their jobs. I'm not going to say that they're not going to. This is not unlike a lot of industrial transitions where as new innovations were introduced, the labor market and the market itself had to adjust. That's going to happen here. I think that we should be concerned about and our hearts should go out to people who may lose their jobs as a result of innovation in the name of sustainability and, in this case, climate change. And we should do everything that we can to make sure that those people land on solid footing. But we need to look out for their kids. It's their kids that are going to feel it the most.
But this is a sign of an innovative economy when you do that. I mean, we don't have whale oil anymore. We don't use kerosene to light our house anymore. Those are things that, you know, are natural progression of an active and innovative economy. So it is painful. I understand that. I understand it's painful for the children after. But this has happened before. It's going to happen again. And I don't see how withdrawing from a worldwide agreement that took 10 years to put together is actually going to help us in the long run. And clinging on to coal mines, as President said, he's going to an opening in Pennsylvania and lots more are going to open. I just don't see how that's the future of the United States.
I don't see that as the future either. And I think that most people who understand these issues from a systems perspective don't see it that way either. I think that, you know, if we're really going to put our money where our mouths are in terms of the economy, putting aside climate change for a second, it's going to be in those areas where, as you said, transitions are taking place. The biggest emissions come from transportation. They come from energy production. They come from industry and manufacturing. All three of those sectors of the economy are greening. All three of those sectors of the economy are trying to reduce their emissions, in part because they were asked to under the last administration, but in part because their customers and their shareholders are demanding it. That's what's going to drive innovation. That's what's going to lead us forward. And I think today, as you pointed out at the outset, was for politics and for show.
Joe Arvai is the Max McGraw Professor of Sustainable Enterprise at the University of Michigan. Thanks for coming in and talking about the withdrawal of the Paris Climate Accord.
It's my pleasure. It's always nice to be here. Thanks, Lester.